Bonmucci speaking.
Hello, it's Teresa Greco.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
Very good, thank you.
And I'm here with my friend Manny Neves.
Hey, Don, how are you?
Hi, Manny. I'm well, thank you.
Good. Thank you so much for jumping on the show.
It's my pleasure.
You're buddies with Teresa?
Yeah, Facebook buddies. We've never spoken, though.
Oh, no, really?
No.
Just all kinds of typing back and forth?
Yeah, and you know what you see on social media, so.
We met in passing through the Brian Crombie show, basically.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Oh, like that. Okay.
Well, Teresa meets how many people per week? Thousands.
I know. She's a woman about town.
I know,
for sure.
Which is great. I love having her in the studio here so I get a glimpse of what she or how many people she knows. So it's great to speak with you. So thank you so much for making the time, Don. And
my pleasure.
I guess, where do you want to begin with this?
Well, Don, you know what we like to talk about on the show, that we're either talking about what people are doing well to live their happiest lives, what are the steps that they're taking to connect with their inner happiness, or, you know, it could be the other end of the spectrum where people might be feeling some blocks to their happiness. So I'm not sure which end of the spectrum you're at and what you wanted to share with us today.
Okay, are we actually on the interview at the moment?
Oh, yes, yeah, from the time the phone was ringing.
We are live. Okay.
We're recording.
Well, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I mean, I always err on the side of the you know, positive and what's working in my life as far as, you know, having a good quality of life and being, you know, happy and positive. So let's go there.
Okay, so how important is that to you? Because I feel like people don't prioritize their happiness, right? I will meet people and I'll say, oh yeah, I'm a happiness life coach and happiness expert. Oh, wow. I could use a little bit more of that. And I'm like, okay, great. Let's talk more about it. Well, you know, now is not a good time. And I'm like, okay, well, being happy means that you prioritize your happiness, meaning that you take active steps every single day to connect with your happiness. So how do you feel about that?
Well, absolutely. Happiness is a choice. Like anything in life, we have choices. And so it has to be a choice that you want to pursue or not. I mean, a lot of people that are, you know, on a regular arc of complaining or being unhappy with their situation or their life, I find are in that situation. Oh, are you okay?
You can hear me on the phone. Sorry, I thought I was muted. I guess I wasn't. Sorry, Don.
It's okay. Sorry about that, Don. Well, my mic is still live. That's why.
No, that's okay. I thought you were joking there.
No, she's good. No need to call. No.
All right. So my feeling on that is you have to make an active effort to be happy in life. Considering like we all go through the same things in life, there are a lot of challenges in living life and being in this human form, in this spacesuit that we occupy for the years that we're on this planet. And we have to make that effort because you know, you look around the world right now and look just in your own community, things can be a little depressing and a little hard to deal with. So it really takes an active effort to create the type of mindset and happiness, contentment that you and we all, I believe, desire. I mean, that's what we all want, is to feel content and happy and you know, productive and fulfilled. And that takes effort. So unless you're willing to make the effort, you know, the complaining is not going to get anyone anywhere. So for me, I have a lot of things I do on a daily basis to be happy and to make that effort. And one of them is not complaining, mm-hmm. quite frankly. So that's my big thing about happiness, is it takes effort.
Mm-hmm. Are we all familiar with that one meme that's going around social media of the Italian woman just screaming down the aisle or the street there, and then everyone's kind of listening in on this, what's going on? You guys have never seen any of this? No?
I haven't.
There's some just Italian woman is just going ballistic about just yelling about something. And it just, I bring that up because nowadays when something like that is happening, I walk away from it. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be around it. It just puts me in a really negative state and it doesn't put me in a better place. So I don't want to be around anybody that's confronting each other or raising their voice to each other or it just sharing negativity between two people. I just don't want to be around it. It's not that I'm hiding or I'm not being a good Samaritan or anything like that. I'm just saying if it's a legitimate argument between two people, it can easily escalate and I don't want to be anywhere near that.
It's not our business. It's not our business. Yeah, it's not our business to worry about what's happening in other people's lives. That's the right, I would say that's the right choice to make, to walk away and protect your peace.
Yes.
I say that all the time. What are you doing to protect your peace? Because the world is always trying to infect us in some way or the other.
And the other thing, too, is we're a direct kind of result of the main, let's just say, the three people we surround ourselves the most with.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm really selective in the company I keep. And for the reason is I'm not surrounding myself with a bunch of complainers and people that are always in conflict or people that are always having, you know, one drama after the other. I would rather sit in a room by myself with my peace than to be around that type of energy. So another effort I make is to be very selective of the type of people I spend my quality time with, because that is my biggest asset. And that's one thing that makes me happy, is having the time and the lifestyle that I want and to spend it with the people I want to spend it with. So for me, that's like paramount. It's one of the major efforts I make, is to just really be very selective on the company I keep.
A couple of things, Dawn. I just want to ask you again. What did you call it? Space suit? Space suit of what?
Yeah, it's the space suit. It's the, you know, it's the place where we are housed for the time that we are on this planet. It's you can call it your skin or your armor.
Yeah, no, I love the space suit part. Yeah.
Well, we're all energy in this underneath these fleshy flesh puppets or whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
Right. We're all energy coming from the source, from God, for whatever your beliefs are. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. We're in this suit until we leave this suit. And so, you know, we have to, that's the other thing for happiness. My main effort is to take care of this suit I am wearing while I'm here. So another major effort for my happiness that I make is to exercise on a regular basis and to put good things into my body and to really pamper my body and make, you know, I do the best I can as to present myself, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Those are so important for happiness and contentment.
So many people don't even think about it on a daily basis, that there's only one. We have one suit. That's it. You get one shot. Simple as that. So you might as well take care of it. I wanted to ask you, Dawn, do you feel that a lot of people out there are pretending to be happy? Are they walking around society, going to work, hanging out with their family, friends, loved ones, and they're pretending to be happy because they can't find happiness?
You know what? In pretending to be happy, you can actually become happy. So I don't have a problem with people pretending to be happy. I'd rather they do that than walk around being miserable. At least they're making an effort.
No, very good point.
So eventually maybe that will stick. But of course, we all want to belong, right? And to belong, you want to fit in. And so you want to make the best presentation of yourself as you can to the world and to the people around you. And if you have to pretend to be happy and that's what makes it good for you, great. I hope that, you know, that they find the happiness in that pretending. But again, happiness doesn't come from the external, and people pretending to be happy to impress others or to gain acceptance or fit in with the world is just not going to work at the end of the day, because happiness is truly something that comes from within, that's intrinsic, that you must find in yourself, because no one else is going to give it to you. No other thing is going to give it to you. No other situation is going to give it to you. Yeah, you get peaks of happiness and joy from certain people and certain experiences, but ultimately, you have to be happy from within. And I think that comes from self-love and from taking care of yourself and from doing things that are purposeful and that kind of stuff, right? So
very, very true. Yeah. I wanted to ask you, Dawn, like, I mean, obviously life is still life and things happen. And as we get older, more things happen to us. And I kind of call them the things that are taken away from us instead of given to us. As we age, we get older, we have a lot of things given to us. But then as we get to a certain point in our aging, things are taken away from us. How do you cope with, you know, moments of sadness where you want to get back to happiness?
Yeah, so it's really funny because we spend all our lives building up and acquiring only to learn to let go and release, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And somebody said something to me the other day about that, around the fact that we have to learn that letting go and being able to release is actually giving us more of what we already had to begin with. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, it totally does. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what kind of things is, like, for me, what came to mind when you said that was freedom and like yeah. time freedom, that your time isn't consumed with like working to acquire the things that society tells you or marketing tells you that you need the latest iPhone, you need, you know, these clothes, you need in order, right? And so as you said, when you learn to let go of those things, you realize that it actually doesn't bring you the joy and the lasting joy and happiness that you're searching for, that it gives you more time to just to be on your own, to be with family and friends that you really value, to be in nature, doing the things that really cost no money.
Oh, I totally agree. I mean, I think you're right. It's you know, if those things are momentarily in pleasures, and they're great and everything, and we do deserve to be blessed and have nice things and nice experiences and people and appreciate those things for what they are. But if we base our contentment and happiness and meaning on this planet on those types of things, when they're taken away from us, that's when we're more vulnerable to go into those states of depression and fear and anxiety and things of that nature. And it's learning to just be content with not having those things. I mean, at the end of the day, when we're older and we're alone and we've done everything and had everything and given everything away and lost everything, there's got to be still something there, right? Mm-hmm. There has to be meaning and there has to be connection. And so, yeah, we have to work on those things.
I mean, society keeps on teaching all of us to acquire things is what makes you happy. That's just clever marketing at that point. But me being in my 50s, I enjoy when I have to purchase something. If I do have to purchase something, it's a functional thing that I'm purchasing. So when I was younger, obviously you're in your 20s and you want to get the latest and greatest Nike shoes and you want to compete with your friends in posts or even high school. These days, I want a pair of shoes that are going to last a certain amount of time for the purpose behind that shoe. I don't care about what the brand is associated with that shoe. I want the functionality behind that shoe. And then once I've used it for the purpose of it, then I discard it and then I buy something else. That's how I look at things these days when I'm purchasing things.
Yeah. Well, it takes a lot of people to learn the lessons of materialism. I mean, if we're relying on the things we have and the looks we have and the popularity we have and all the things we have to define us as who we are or our identity, we are going to be really let down when those things are not there anymore. Yeah. We're all going to lose. We could all lose our possessions tomorrow. We could lose our looks. We lose these things as we get closer to going over to the other place that we belong. And when we are relying on those things for our identity, of course, you're not going to be happy once they're taken away from you. And they will be eventually.
For sure.
And they can at any moment.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Like your health, for instance, like we walk around, a lot of people like with blinders on, just not even realizing how blessed we are to just be able to have gotten up in the morning and still had our health.
Yep.
And had our ability to walk and see and taste and smell and breathe. And like just that in itself to be grateful for every day and just be thankful that that is something we have, because that could be gone in a minute. And without your health, then life is completely different, right?
Now, what in those moments of your life when things get chaotic, that I know for me, it seems to be almost like ebbs and flows, where there are times that I'm managing and then times when things start to get like overwhelming and stressed because I've taken on maybe too many responsibilities, mm-hmm. or there are things outside of our control, like what, mm-hmm. you know, what my morning was like this morning. Mm-hmm. It didn't go the way I had planned and nothing to do, right? You're interacting with other people, mm-hmm. and there's traffic, there's wait times. There's a lot of things. And I have realized that, you know, I want to give myself more time when I need to get to an appointment. I have realized that I start to feel anxious and nervous, and I get hot and flustered when I'm stuck in traffic and I'm going to be late, and I don't want to swerve and trying to get to, like, you know, where I have to go and maybe, you know, be unsafe or get a traffic ticket or get hurt. Right. So I'm like, I'm starting to really tune into those feelings, physiological, but also on emotionally too. And trying to take steps to ensure that I don't get to that point where I start to feel uncomfortable. And so, you know, and inevitably that's, you know, we're going to have times like that. It's not always where we're going, we have time to go to the gym and we have time to eat healthy and we don't always hang out with our friends. Like, it's, we have moments when we can, but we don't always. So what do you do in those times when, you know, you might be faced with more than just, like, you know, the everyday, let's say.
Yeah. So I call that the great overwhelm. I had a therapist once, and I truly believe therapy is a great thing next to faith. But she said, you are like a Ferrari race car, young lady. She said, you just go round and round that track, just ahead of the crowd. You're like a leader in the pack, and you're that Ferrari. But the problem with you is you forget to take your pit stops and get your tires and your oil and your other mechanisms replenished. And what happens is you're gonna burn your car out. She said, you need to take more pit stops. So I'm one of those highly overwhelmed people. I'm a type A. I can get overwhelmed really, really easily. And I do it to myself. And my biggest thing is to take more pit stops. Takes more time to check in, take more time to do those pit stops, to just take a deep breath, center yourself, do some tapping, do some square breathing, whatever type of calming and getting in touch mechanisms that you've learned over the years for your own self-regulation. The other thing for me when I'm overwhelmed or in a situation of fear, anxiety, or I don't know what to do and things are just beyond my control, my big go-to is my faith. It's my connection to God. It's reading the word. It's praying. It's just having faith in believing that no matter what happens, I am going to be cared for and provided for, and that I'm loved, and that this is just something that maybe I need to let go and let God deal with, right? So between just the coping and taking those pit stops and having a really strong faith, that's just how I deal.
No, and that's excellent, because the truth is most people don't have coping skills. Those things are not taught in school. Life is happening, and then people are starting to freak out, and they're like pressure cookers, like literally like the tiniest thing and someone's exploding and you're like, oh my God.
And then because of social media and all the tech and all of that fast paced stuff, right? Mm-hmm. That the kids don't get taught how to regulate.
No. And like, what are those, like for me, because I'm in tune, right? I practice mindfulness. And so I'm always checking in with myself, but that this is something that I learned to do, because we're not taught. And that's why, as you said, working with a therapist or working with a coach, a counselor, they can try to give you what some of those steps could be for when you are caught in those situations, when you start to feel your blood boiling because, you know, something's pissing you off, whether it's a person or a situation. And so, you know, our podcast here is called Building Joy, and it is about talking about happiness, but also tying it into the construction industry, right? And so if we think about what that workplace is like, it can get chaotic. It can get overwhelming. And you're dealing with, you know, on some job sites, there's a lot of different trades there, not always people that you know. And and shit happens almost all the time.
My dad was a heat and frost insulator, so he was always dealing with stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and being overwhelmed is a major thing. And the unfortunate thing is, and I'll speak for the construction men, the tradesmen out there, we always take on more than we can really handle, and then we're extremely overwhelmed because now we have to deal with the family issues, we have to deal with the work issues, we have to deal with our own personal issues. And I kind of started, me being in my 50s now, I started coming up with this whole Shawshank idea where it's, I look at things that need to get done and I tackle it when I can get to it. And I'll do a little bit every single time. And I look at it like Andy Dufresne. He basically dug himself out of prison with a spoon. And it was as simple as that. He did a little bit every single day. He didn't just go in there and start thinking, I'm going to get this accomplished today. It doesn't happen that way. It takes several days, if not months, if not years. So if you just chip away at a little bit every so often, you'll eventually get the task completed. That's how I look at it. And it actually puts you in a good state by working at it and knowing that it's in the back of your head now that you can actually make another day of it and look at it. Go, you know what? I'll tackle more of it next day, tomorrow, next week. And then you get it all done eventually instead of it just being sitting around, not getting done at all.
Yeah. Bite-sized chunks. It's like a meal. Yes. You don't inhale the whole meal at once. You take small little bites and you eventually get to the end of the plate.
And so some eat the plate.
And so knowing what those coping skills are for you, and it can be different for everybody, right? What works for you. But I think that breathing is a quick and simple thing that we can do in any moment, right? Whether it's like, you know what, I need to walk away from this situation, and you need to go outside or in your car, in the bathroom stall. Those are all things that I've had to do where I'm like, I need to step away because I just need to get grounded and centered because I feel like I'm getting out of control. You know, my voice is raising you know, it is your blood pressure's going up. You're feeling all hot and sweaty and itchy and whatever. Like there's a whole bunch of physiological things you start to feel when you know you need to step away.
Absolutely. And one thing I learned is we don't owe anyone a response or a reaction. No. That was a huge thing for me because people are always wanting like, you know, and it's always immediate gratification. Everybody's on this whole thing like and I want it now and immediacy. And for me, I don't answer questions until I have time to think about it. I don't owe anyone a response or a reaction. And if you can realize that you need to step away and take that time, and that's great. I think that's going to help a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. And just breathing it at, like going and breathing deeply.
Breathe.
Yeah. Yep. And it's amazing how it starts to calm the nervous system, like within minutes. And then being able just to like, because it's what's happening in the brain too, right? That the logical area of the brain at the front is, you know, that's not working when we're feeling all angry and frustrated. We're actually working from the hindbrain, right? So even knowing that, you know, what's happening within the body and how even if you did try to speak or say something to the other person, it's probably not going to be the greatest reflection of like who you are as a person.
And you do
need to step away so that you can actually respond to a situation more logically.
And they say never to make any decisions when you're in an emotional state, right? Should always, you know, never do any rash decisions when you're in an emotional state. Actually, you shouldn't base anything on your emotions. Mm-hmm. That's the worst thing to base anything on. So, you know, rational thinking and calm and factual, you know, things like that. But mm-hmm. I've been guilty of getting overwhelmed and reacting emotionally and letting that get the better of me at times too. I know how you're feeling.
Mm-hmm. It happens to all of us. And that's why, again, we need to know when we're starting to bubble up, right? Mm-hmm. So that we don't get to that pressure cooker state, that we already feel it and we start to take active steps so that it doesn't get to that point.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Dawn, for jumping on the call and being a part of the show and sharing so much. Really valuable insight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really enjoyed speaking with the two of you and thank you for inviting me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Enjoy the rest of your day there.
Likewise.
Okay. Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
That was great. Mm-hmm. And you've known her for how long?
No, just on Facebook.
Just through Facebook, right? So she reached out to you because of the happiness program. Okay. And then, so it sounds like she's been working at it for a little while. She understands that it takes some time to do this.
Mm-hmm. And I think as we get older, we start to realize that we need to start prioritizing ourselves, right? And not just letting the world happen to us so that it's not, life is not happening to us, that we're doing life, like intentionally. It's us in our life creating it moment by moment the way we want it to be.
It's like a movie theater.
Oh, she's still on.
I'm still on. I'm going to let you guys go.
Oh, so sorry about that.
Continue your conversation.
Thanks,
thanks, Dawn.
Thanks.
All right.
Okay, take about... care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I was like, I was hearing voices. Okay, we were picking up a radio station. And I guess, you know what, the thing is that I do start seeing a lot of older people start seeing this, and then it's clearly seen through their eyes. How does a young person see this sooner? How do we get young people to see it sooner?
Well, I think we all have those physiological responses, like early, right? Where we start to feel hot and flustered and maybe for me get like itchy scalp or itchy skin. Like, you know, when you start to feel angry and upset,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So it's just tuning into it, not ignoring it and not trying to numb it out, right? People are like, oh geez, I've had the most brutal
day. But
that's
the go-to. Everybody does that because mm-hmm. they don't want to confront it.
And learning healthy ways to be able to like bring your nervous system down. So at the end of the day, you're not reaching for the alcohol. You're not reaching for the marijuana to be able to like calm you down. You're going to the gym. You're going for a walk. You're maybe like meditating or praying or just being by yourself, like having a coffee, looking out the window, like whatever is like, what are those peaceful activities that, you know, when you do them, start to calm you down.
What if you train your dog to get the alcohol and bring it to you instead of you reaching for the alcohol? No, that doesn't work.
Alcohol. Those are not healthy responses. We want to try to think of a healthy things. But then even self-reflection is so important, that then when you are now at the end of the day, think about what were maybe those people or situations during the day that had you escalated.
How could you have handled it better?
No, how if could you almost or handle it for sure, but how could you maybe remove them, right? So, you know, when that guy came in and he started like saying this and that, that you noticed that he started to make
I
you upset?
I just walk away. I don't care if I'm rude. I just walk away. I don't say goodbye. I don't acknowledge it. I don't shake a hand. I don't fist pump. I just walk away. Where did Manny go? He's Batman. He just disappeared. Simple mm-hmm. as that. I don't want to be. I've told friends, you know, probably as recent as maybe 5 years, I've told people, I go, I don't want to be around that person. That person's negative. And whenever I see them, they're constantly talking about negative things that are going on in the world, in their world, in this neighborhood. And I'm like, I don't want to be around that. If that person wants to speak more positively, then I'll stick around. But, you know, I give you one, I give you two, I give you three times or whatever, and you're constantly that same kind of state. That's who you are as a person. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be around it. Mm-hmm. I just walk away.
I listened to something this week where there's an actual website, which I haven't looked at, and it's like something about notcomplaining.com, something like that. But it apparently you can get a bracelet that you wear, and every time you complain, you need to shift the bracelet from like one wrist to the other. And it's supposed to give you better awareness of how much you're complaining. So when we're always looking to what's going wrong and the lack in our life, it's only inviting more of what's going wrong and more lack. Instead of when we focus on what's going well and all the good things that are happening and all the things that we do have, it starts to redirect your energy more to that, and then it invites more of that. And then all of a sudden you notice that there's so much more flow and ease in your life, and you're like, wow, that makes you almost like more want to focus on what's positive, because you realize that it's just increasing all the good things in your life. So that's like how gratitude works, that when we're constantly focused on like all the good things that we have to be grateful for all the time, that it redirects our attention. So the idea with the bracelet is that it allows us to focus on how negative we are.
Yeah.
And that statistically we are 80%, we have a negativity bias. So our instinct is to be more negative. So it's important for us
to become aware.
No, I hate drama.
No. But in general, society, we want the drama.
Well, that's what's all
we
on
want
TV.
A rubberneck. We want to make sure that we can see a glimpse of that accident. We want to be able to overhear that conversation of some dramatic event going on between a couple, between a family, between whatever. I'm like, I don't want any of that crap. I'm walking away from it, as simple as that. It's just how, you know what I think it does is if you do that, then you're a constant And she, it's great that Dawn brought that up. It's like a lot of people didn't wake up this morning. And so you should be grateful that you did wake up this morning and you actually got a chance to smell the roses, so to speak. And a lot of people didn't. So you should be grateful on that point. What it does is it turns around, and when you do meet somebody from your circle of friends and you're talking to them and they tell you something positive that's going on in their life, you're genuinely interested in their well-being, that they're happy at that moment. Instead of you staying in a negative state, you're going to be envious, and then you're going to be bitter, and you might respond in a negative way towards something that's going great for them, which shouldn't be the case. No. You should be encouraging that their life is going so well and let that rub off on you, so then your life can go so well too.
Yeah, but it's difficult. When people are in the muck, it can be difficult.
We want to attract it.
But if we're only being exposed to the negative, then we lose sight that there are good things still happening on the planet, that there are people that are doing the right thing. There are people that are living their happiest life. Statistically, we know that half of people are not happy.
It's that much, huh?
Yeah. By the age of 40, 50% of the population either have or have had mental illness. And that's just like those that have been identified. Imagine the ones that are just going
not
around.
Even
not even. Oh, yeah. So it's many people. This is why we're doing this show, right? Yeah. Is to hope to motivate and inspire people to take those active steps that hopefully, you know, there's going to be something that either we or a guest will share that will connect with someone to say, you know what?
For sure.
Maybe I'm going to try that this week. And as you said, if you just choose one little thing that you can implement this week to say, you know what? I'm not going to eat the donuts this week. Even though someone brings it to the job site, I'm going to choose the apple. I'm going to choose the banana. Like something so small. Or I'm not going to do a triple-triple. I'm going to do a double-double instead. Like, so that you're working, inching away towards, you know, having your body be healthier. And when our body's healthier, our mind is healthier, our emotions are healthier. Like it's all connected.
I think that's part of the reason why the younger people don't see it the same way that older people do, because when you get older, the health part of it is front and center for most of the time. You're very critical about what's going on with your body, and there is such a strong cause and effect to what you do. If you smoke, if you drink, if you eat in excess and you're eating too much sugar, your body feels it. But as a young person, you're almost indestructible, so you can just pop in whatever you want to eat and you won't really notice the difference.
Yeah.
But there is damage going on there, and yeah, you could be a lot healthier, a lot happier. But I agree. You ready to call the next person?
Yes.
Who's the next person? Josie? Isn't there a song? Josie.
I don't know if she pronounces it Jose.
Oh, Jose?
Hi. Hi, it's Teresa Greco.
How are you?
Excellent. And yourself?
I'm good, thank you.
Now, do you pronounce your name Jose or Josie?
Jose.
Jose.
Jose, excellent. Well, I'm here with Manny.
Hello, Jose.
Hi, Manny. How are you?
Good? I'm good. I'm good on this lovely summer. We're having a really nice summer in Canada.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Well, it's starting to be a little bit better, but yes, absolutely. It's
there's no snow.
Today.
If there's no snow. It's a nice summer. That's exactly how I look at it. Thank you so much for jumping on the call and jumping on the show with us.
Not a problem. My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So, Jose, I gave you an idea of, you know, what we like to talk about on the show. So mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you are on the happiness side, or are you on the perhaps experiencing some blocks to your happiness?
Well, to be honest, it's a little bit of both. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not blocks.
That's the truth. That's the truth.
Right?
It's like
reality.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm in a stage of my life then, you know, I mean, an empty nester now. I raised three beautiful girls, you know, was a dance mom for 22 years. You know, I paid the first year's university, all that good stuff. You know, I'm 63 years old, young.
63 years young, yes.
Yeah, I'm not feeling old. I'm still working full time. But I got to tell you something. I mean, positivity has been my middle name for years, okay? It's in my vibes. It's in my energy. But I cannot stop thinking, reflecting on my future now. It's been quite in my mind a bit. nevertheless, I'm super happy. I'm super satisfied of what I accomplished and all that. But being, you know, I compare myself a little bit like an eagle. You know, I'm strong. I'm fearless. I got wisdom. I'm a hunter. I've been in sales over 35 years. And I look at my life now and I'm thinking, you know, I'm flying around and thinking, oh, try to look at the big picture and see where I can pinpoint my next step, you know, thinking retirement in this day and age, it's almost out of reach. You know, being a single parent all those years, paying for everything, you know, everybody have some sort of investment or something. But as a single parent for 25 years, you touch those investment quite a bit. And then you wake up one day and you say, whoa, what am I going to do now? Well, I'm going to keep working, which is I'm okay with that. But I'm pretty much at the stage of my landscape of what is going to be my next 10 years, you know? And I think the challenge is basically based for me anyway. And I'm sure people can relate to that when, you know, I'm in the tail of the baby boomer. And my go-to place has been to manifest, you know, being grateful for what I have and stop thinking about what I want, which I do think about that every day. But being grateful, you know, change my language in my head. You know, it's not I can do that, is I must do this, or, you know, that sort of thing. So that's where I'm at. I mean, self-awareness, reframe my brain kind of thing, you know, gratitude practice, surrounding, eliminate people in your life who make you miserable or question yourself or any of that. I mean, I'm doing a big cleanup. So that's pretty much where I'm at right now, and try to move forwards and even looking at a different career at this point, believe it or not.
You know what, Jose, I was actually going to say the one word that I don't use these days and I haven't used for a while is retirement. I understand the clear definition of what the word means. And I understand that, especially here in Canada, the prospects of retirement, and for all of us that are getting older, because I'm in my 50s, I actually started changing that word from retirement to legacy. Because at any point in your life, you can change what your state is all about. And then it doesn't matter. You don't have to be a young person that becomes income earning. You could be an older person and become income earning. And you can come up with new ideas in your life. You can shift your life. And then you can create this legacy that leaves behind, that you don't have to worry about, do I have enough for retirement, versus can I enjoy doing what I'm doing and make some money from it and live like that? That's how I look at things.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that, because this is part of changing languages again, right?
Yeah.
I have to change that legacy. I like that way better than, I mean, I don't look at myself, like I want to keep working until I cannot work. Mm-hmm. And I got this great job right now. Then it allowed me to go remotely in the winter.
Nice.
To go like Dominican for 6 months and I'm remotely work. I did quit my big corporate job 3 years ago when I turned 60. Mm-hmm. And I decide I don't want this anymore. I will get something else and I'm going to go where I want to be, which I did that. And now 3 years later, I'm even thinking again, okay, Jose, where are you at? My last daughter, I had children very late. My youngest is 21. So I had her at 43. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, and she's all taken care of. You know, she's got her first year university pay. She's on her second year now.
Very
she's
nice.
Doing wonderful. Now it's Jose now. Mm-hmm. And I'm feeling like, you know what? I'm not done yet. I'm really not. Like I want to even entertain something else. Then I can even maximize my happiness and, you know, keep going, keep your brain going. Absolutely.
Did you stand taller when you quit the corporate job? Did you feel a weight come off your shoulders?
Oh my God, you have no idea. You have no idea. You know, when you have 200 people under you, and my job is to train everybody and this and that, and working with a generation, then it's not like I was been raised and my father worked and I worked. Like, it's just a different, you know, they think differently. They want everything without making the effort. I was exhausted. I got to the point then I'm like, you know what? I don't do what I love to do is to sell. I was wearing so many different hats. Then it was drifting me away from what I really love to do.
Yeah.
And business development and talk to people and, you know, be a consultant for different services or whatever. I can sell anything. I can, you know, selling is selling. Building relationship, it's what is that, right? Credibility, you know, and all that good stuff. And then, so, yeah. It was a big weight on my shoulder, 100%, and makes me a lot happier because I am where I want to be. But you got to make that hard decision, right?
Yes.
And I think that self-reflection piece is important for us to, again, always checking in and saying, you know, is the job that I'm doing, is it aligning with what I'm most passionate about? And true. There are factors outside of our control that are constantly happening. As you said, you know, working within different generations of individuals that are coming in with values that are different than ours, you know, depending on what generation you're in. And I think when we reflect on what gives us energy, what gives us excitement, what motivates us, what makes us dream bigger, and brighter for ourselves, and then always saying, okay, how can I pivot more in that direction? And, you know, I have, like you, so many things that I want to do, and I have to not be limited by my age, right? To say that's just a number, but I have this that I want to do and this and this and this. I have so many things. I say that I suffer from the plight of the multi-passionate because I am passionate about so many different things. And I feel like there just isn't enough time in the day for all the things that I want to do. And I feel like when you get older and you're on the other side, you realize how precious life is, how precious time is, and you just don't want to waste it with people and in spaces that aren't serving you the way that you want them to.
Oh my God, you cannot say it better. You cannot say it better. I'm a grandparent of four now and four little kids. And and I told it's just incredible to be with those little guys, mm-hmm. and you know, and it makes you understand, like, oh my God, did I do this? Did I have five kids? Did I have? I raised five children, but I had three girls on my own, right? Mm. So, but it's just like it is precious, and I don't feel my age, Teresa, yeah. And I don't think I would never. And when I say, and I'm glad you brought it up. To change my language of legacy versus retirement, because I don't think I would never retire. It's not on my cards. I enjoy making money number one, mm-hmm. and, you know, doing what I want to do. And it is so much more to do and eliminate what is toxic in your life and not settling down in a relationship because you don't want to be alone. I'm at the stage now then I'm okay on myself by myself, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. It's nice to share, but I mean, mm-hmm. it's even with your friends, right? The people that you meet every day. I think it's so important to don't waste any time.
Mm-hmm. And social connection is important, but it's the quality of that social connection, right? So as you said, removing those people that are toxic and not serving you, that I would rather be by myself than being mm-hmm. around people that aren't valuing me or my presence or my insight or anything. So, it's, mm-hmm. and I think we start to realize that too, that it's okay to be alone.
Absolutely. But it's hard. It's difficult because, you know, I mean, as much as you have a very large social life, which I do, I got so many group of friends. Mm-hmm. I got friends at 40 something. I got friends in 50s. Mm-hmm. I got friends in the 60s. I even have friends in the 70s. And they are, I take, I'm, I'm grateful for that because I can, you know, endure the different generation and what's important to them and learn about it and maybe swap myself a little bit to, you know, because, oh, that's a good idea. Or, you know what? Oh, that's so smart. I never thought of that. You know what I mean? Because you, I have different group, but it does get lonely. You just have to learn all to keep yourself busy and to be grateful for, you know, the life you have. And at least I'm happy. I don't have to respond to stupidities or being in a toxic relationship, which I've been, you know, a couple but times.
That that loneliness could easily be solved if you just start going left or right. You just start changing the way you normally do things and you'll discover new things that you could possibly do. And even it, you might even meet new people that will influence you, right? I was curious, Jose, did your kids start to notice a difference with you when you started making this shift where you started to focus on yourself? Did they see?
Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I'm very close to my three daughters, right? Okay. So except the one in university, she doesn't have a house yet, but my daughter done really well. So they have houses 10 minutes from here. Right. Nice. So I go visit the kids all the time. I'm very close. Yes, they notice my shift, but they do worry about me. Not worry in the sense that I'm not capable, but they just, I think, and I have to rephrase them all the time. You know what? I'm like a cat. Like I'm always fall back on my feet. I did go through a really bad time in my life then, you know, and then I got a life coach and I talked to people and then I got myself back. Making my journal, meditation, you know, affirmation of myself and all that. It's work. It takes work. And everybody should realize then, you know, things are not coming to you without the work, right? And it takes time. And they do see a difference in me. Then I'm happier. Then I'm, you know, confident has never been an issue for me, but, you know, self-confidence. But to feel like everything's going to be okay. And you know, everything's going to always be okay. And I'm happy in my skin. And I don't feel to responding to anybody. I can say no to you in a nice way without feeling obligated to do something, right? So all those little things, right?
Was it difficult for you to find a life coach or find somebody that you can speak to? Or was it your decision or somebody in your circle that made this suggestion to you? Or were you on your own on that?
Well, my daughter kind of suggested because, you know, in my couple past relationship in my life, my children got affected really, really badly. Mm-hmm. And especially my twins girls. And back in the days, I spent a lot of money on psychologists. And my last one, I kind of detect a little bit of a, you know, a people pleaser in her and getting bullied and all that stuff. So I turned around and put it in front of another psychologist and she was in it for 4 years. That's not a quick fix. But my girls are all like up and running beautifully now. And then at one point, my daughters were telling me, like, Mommy, maybe you should talk to somebody. You know, you took a lot on your shoulder all those years. Maybe it's time for you to, you know, bloom bigger, you know, found yourself. Forgive yourself for this. Forgive yourself. Like, you know what I mean? Yep. Because when things happen to your children, you feel responsible. You feel that guilt. And doesn't matter. And for so many years, I couldn't even think about feeling guilty because I had to keep going, right? And you get to a point of your life, then now, okay, they're all good now. So maybe it's time for me to do me good, right? So, yeah, it was somebody that I knew and then I'm talking with and she's been wonderful. And she put me back in the right direction. And I think, quite honestly, I think everybody should get a life coach.
Yeah. I agree.
I think a psychologist or somebody, because you need somebody from the outside to understand.
It's fresh eyes. Yeah.
To navigate your issues, to navigate, because, you know, it's within, like, it's like having a big backpack on your, you know, big backpack on your back and you have all those heavy rock and then you're carrying those all your life because this happened and that happened. And I've been very good at pushing everything under the mat and, you know, kind of move on because I didn't have any other choices, mm-hmm. right? You know, you're a single mom, you have kids in university, you have kids in dance, you have activities, you have no time to pity yourself and to, you know, you just think about them. But then when they're all gone, that, you know, it kind of all came back to me. So I had to get rid of those heavy rocks and, you know, one by one, you know, and that's painful, but it has to be done. And I think a lot of us are not focusing enough on ourselves, especially when you're a mom, right?
100%. You always put everything else ahead of you.
Pardon me?
You always put everything else ahead of you.
Oh, exactly, right? And that's what I think. I'm not the only one. A lot of people does that, right? And they just are they people pleaser, or they don't think about themselves, right? So I think, you know, it's just a matter of working on yourself and be able to navigate through those issues.
Teresa brought up a good point earlier in the call, just talking about at some point in your life, there's going to be a list of things that you will not be able to accomplish. You'll just right. have to confront yourself and just go, you know what? I'll never be able to get to that, whatever it is on the list, mm-hmm. right? How are you handling that? Because I'm dealing with that too, right? There's a lot of things that I'm starting to think, okay, well, I'll probably never get to that. And I'm right. just curious on how you would handle that.
Well, you know what? I think you have to find yourself within your happiness and what you're capable to accomplish. I mean, to me, I'm a salesperson. I mean, you know, on cap commissions, you know, like it's just like the world is, you know, I can go after anybody and be successful. But in terms of personal things, personal life, certain things, I mean, I'm not quite at that stage then I cannot do things, but you know, I just try to be positive in any shape or form, but I don't really have a list, to be honest. So maybe that was something that maybe I should be doing.
No, I haven't been writing anything down. I'm just saying at some point, I mean, I'm 52. So at some point there's going to be certain things that I won't be able to do, whether it's physically or mentally or what have you. But then sometimes I look through old photo albums from our family and I'll see my grandparents on my mom's side doing physical things that I never thought they would have been able to do. And then right. here you go. There's a photographic evidence that they actually pulled it off. So I'm not surprised. I'm very pleased that I see older people accomplishing things. They're just driven to do it so they can get it done. So it's like the worst thing I can say to myself is just tell myself, here's a list, mentally speaking, here's a list in my head that I will not be able to get to, which is, it's complete rubbish. Like I shouldn't be able to do that. I should be looking at the list going, okay, well, next week I'll take care of that. Next year I'll take right. care of that. Simple as that.
Well, I got to tell you something. I've been a single mom for so long. I've been doing everything. Okay. So that's never stopped me. I work out every day. I'm in super top shape. I'm not afraid to do anything. Like, you know, this afternoon I'm going to go paddleboard probably for 3 hours. You know what I mean? So, I mean, skiing, that's one of the things that I don't think I'm ever going to be able to do again. I was a skier. I was a ski jumper when I'm my youngest age. I was an athlete for all my life. And that's probably one of the things, now that you mentioned it, physically, because my knees are shot.
But you did at some point in your life already accomplish that, and you enjoyed that.
Accomplished, yeah, I accomplished, but I would have to go back into it, but I'm very nervous to do so, because then if I screw up my knees, then it's going to not allow me to put any high heels, eh? Cannot do that. You got to look at priorities here.
You got to get to A to B to C. You know, we all need that.
What are my priorities? Going skiing or wearing a high heel?
Go with the heels. Go with the heels.
Heels it is. So, you know, I mean, I would have loved to have a villa in Spain. You know, I don't know. I'm not saying that I will, but you know, me, I'm looking more in monetary things. I'm trying to be happy in what I have. And I'm still looking at the future. Like my job, I make a very good living and it's a great company, but you know what? I'm sitting down those days. And I'm thinking, you know what, Josie, I want more. Mm-hmm. Like this is not enough. So I'm going to go get more.
it's important for us not to be focusing on the past. So Mandy's comment was like, oh, you know, one long time ago, I was able to do this and this and this. And the past is just an illusion, just like the future is too, right? Einstein said that, which is the truth. So when we're looking backward and saying, oh, you know, my life was nice when my body was younger and I was able to ski and all the things that you mentioned, but that was beautiful for that time that you were able to do that, right? So it's important for us not to be looking at where we were before, but where we are in the present moment, and that our future is going to be what we do in every present moment, that essentially we are creating our future based on who we are now and today, and that when we are forward focused, which is why I like coaching so much, is because it is about looking forward, about what is on your heart that you feel like you want to do. And day by day, as you said, today you're going paddleboarding. Like, it's like day by day. What do I feel like I need to do today for me? What? And sometimes it's, I need to take a break. Sometimes I need to just be slower today. Sometimes I have more energy and I can do two classes at the gym or like whatever that is, but it's us creating our life moment by moment and being grateful for the fact that we were able to experience all those things when we were younger. Like, how beautiful was it that you were able to do all of those things? But how beautiful is it in this present moment that you were able to do all the things that you're doing today? So that's what I find, you know, I hear from older people is that, oh, you know, before it was, I was able to, no, like, that's beautiful. Be grateful for the fact that, you know, you were able to participate and do all of those things before, but what can you do today? And whether it's a lot or a little, just because of, you know, how you're feeling, that's okay.
Well, I came to realization as well, which I'm totally okay to have not skiing ever again because I want to spend my winter on the beach.
Exactly, exactly. And your life now.
I'd rather walk on the beach than skiing on the snow. Mm-hmm. So I'm totally okay with that. And that's on my game plan. If I'm getting another position in my life, I'm getting another job or whatever, it has to be remote because I need to have that novelty to be somewhere hot in the winter. Like, I don't want to live in that winter.
We know, trust us, we know.
I think everybody's a little fed up with that.
Yeah.
And I think it's also so beautiful for us to be excited about like what each decade of our life is going to bring us, because it's different, right? That when we're in childbearing years and we're having our kids and they're young and we're bringing them to activities and then they get older and then we're like in the next stage. And I also think that that's fascinating to say, wow, that I didn't, while you're in it, it's hard to appreciate it. But now that, you know, we're on the second half again, you can look back and say, okay, you know, my 20s were so much like this. My 30s were so much like that. Like, and now you're like, okay, what do I want? Like my 50s, 60s or 70s to be like, and really, you know, being imaginative and creative about what you want your life to be like now for you, moment by moment, day by day. It is super exciting to be able to think of like each day about what do you want it to be like?
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on that. Like, I'm trying to live day by day. And of course, you got to think about the future a little bit. But the stage of my life now, it's wonderful because it's all about me now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean.
So go enjoy it.
Yeah.
And, you know, go enjoy it. Right?
Beautiful. So that's what everyone has to look forward to, that it's more about me when you get older.
I want to be half year here so I can spend time with my grandkids. I mean, yes. my they're all very young. They're 4 years old, 3 years old. One is turning three. One of my twins, and the other one, she's got two girls. She just had one 3 weeks ago, and the little girls is turned three. So they're all so young. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and one of them's going to go to school already. So it's crazy how fast the time goes. So that's why I'm trying to spend as much time than I can, you know, with them and enjoy and, you know, go watch and play soccer. And to me, this is a good life to be at that, you know.
I feel
very grateful for that. But, you know, it's always a worry. Like everybody, as much as you want to change your language, as much as you try to be as positive as possible, you know, try to block whatever is going on in the world. It's just, it's so difficult to stay focused. I'm doing my very best through journaling and meditation and listening to broadcasts, or try to just kind of keep going at it, you know, and try to have no negativity gets into your body, which is, it's work. Cannot lie.
Thank you. And that's why we're doing the show is, you know, we hope that this podcast will be exactly that, something that the people can listen to and to realign, right? That, as you said, the world gets its claws into us and it can be difficult to stay in alignment with our goals and aspirations for ourselves. And that's why, you know, listening that, and that's on in my happiness toolkit is listening to those uplifting songs, those podcasts, those audiobooks that I was like, you know, stuck in traffic on my way here today. And it was like, okay, what book am I going to put on to listen to?
The audio, the books.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's so much, you know, it's so much available to you these days and age. Like it's so much.
Yes.
It's no reason not to use all that technology, which I love this era for that. Because everything like AI is just amazing. Like, you know, you're just hoping they're not going to take over the world, but it's getting a little.
Don't worry, you'll be on a beach, so it'll be okay.
Yeah.
There won't be any AI on the beach, so it's all good.
That's right. With my unlimited Wi-Fi and my earbuds.
Thank you so much, Jose. I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing so much. And
thank you so much.
We wish you all the best.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful Saturday.
You
and
too.
God bless you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Take care. Bye. Oh, yeah, you're disconnected. Yeah. So that was great.
Yeah. So fun. But if we looked at our life every day like that, not to say that we don't make preparations for what we want our future to be like, but and that's where the chipping away is, right? To say that, you know, I want to have enough money in my bank account so that I can, you know, if I need help with my health or if I want to travel or whatever, is taking steps in that direction. But always thinking about how do I want today to be like? And if you can take a couple of minutes in the morning to think about, like, setting those intentions for the day, to say today is going to be a good day for me because, and I don't know what it is, but it actually unfolds very closely to how you intended, like how you wanted to show up. And so, you know, when I do my work with students that have special needs, every day it's like, I don't know what mood they're going to be in. And sometimes it's like, it's a switching of schedule, so I don't even know who I'm going to work with. It's like, I don't know. But today, everything's going to go smoothly. They're going to be in a good mood. I'm going to be able to see all my kids. There aren't going to be any cancellations. I'm going to feel like, you know, I'm going to feel at peace, or I'm going to feel calm, or and it unfolds like that. I get to at the end of the day and I'm like, wow, that is so cool that it actually, like it did.
It worked out that way.
Yeah. And so if you just like, if you get up and you're moaning and groaning about, oh no, I got to go to the job site today, or I got to go into the workplace or whatever it is, and you're thinking about all the reasons why you don't want to go because of like how it was yesterday or how it always is that we can be more intentional about what we want our day to be like. And it's like all of a sudden the negative people don't seem to come into your office. Or they don't come, like, they just don't interact with
you.
They
won't come around
you. It's so weird that just energetically or vibrationally, when we say, this is how I want my day to go, all of a sudden those things that would have pulled you away, they don't happen. It's like miraculous, Manny. I can't even explain.
No, I agree with you. But the majority of people, like you were saying, were you saying off mic or in between calls, you were saying that 50% of people have issues going on. Right. So the majority of people are waking up already anticipating what the day is going to be like in a negative pattern. So they invite all this stuff and then it just compounds it and it keeps on fueling that day that they're creating when they could be creating a completely different day. Mm-hmm. I want to ask you, Teresa, with her, when we were speaking, and I love that she's saying now it's her time and she's working on it. And she lifted, the weight was lifted on her shoulders when she left the corporate world. And we see that a lot with a lot of people, that they're making good money, they're successful in the balance sheet of life, so to speak. And then all of a sudden they just give up all this financial success for more happiness. And she felt a lot better by doing that. And then she's focused on remote, which I'm in agreement completely on everything that she's doing. How does one do that sooner instead of waiting into her 60s? Like, should she have done it in her 40s or in her 50s? But she brought up a very good point. When you're a mom, especially a single mom, there's a lot of work and you always put the children first. So then you're last. And now she's putting herself first because her kids are becoming moms now. So it's difficult when you're younger, like 20 years ago, for her to all of a sudden just wake up and go, you know what? I don't want the corporate world. I want happiness now, but I'm going to give my kids as much time as I possibly can, but I'm going to give me some time too. Is that how it's, you're prioritizing? That's what you're doing? You're just going to figure out little moments for yourself?
I think that it's important for us to always be paying attention to what is our greatest passion. What are the things that we feel excited and energetic about, and allowing that to guide us in every moment? So when you start to feel like maybe your job, I mean, the job is, there's a couple different components to, like, you know, as soon as you start not feeling energetic or excited to go into work, doesn't mean that you have to leave it necessarily. There are then strategies of what you can do to still continue to feel. So for example, with the company that I work with, it's 11 years that I just finished with them. And they're going back to, like, the why and the reasons behind why I continue to work there, even though there are some aspects to it that I'm not so excited about. But overall, there are a lot of good reasons. So I continue to stay there, whether it's, like, you know, it's making a lot of money, whether you have the opportunity to travel with your work, whether you have, like, nice people at work that you get to talk to. So there, it's really always like going back to, you know, what are the pros and kind of weighing those with the cons, and then realizing that, you know, you're making the choice to stay because of all of these different reasons, right? But nevertheless, I think that life is always constantly showing us more about ourselves. And as we learn more about ourselves, we use that information and knowledge to guide us into the direction that we always need to go into, right? So even if you were at a job for like 10 years, to say, okay, well, what are the things that I learned about myself? What am I good at? What am I not so good at? What did I enjoy about this work? What aren't I enjoying? And, like, using that information to now, like, guide you into, like, where you maybe need to go next. And maybe that means that you have to take night school and take courses to be able to, like, you know, allow yourself to move into that direction in like 5 years once you've completed your coursework or whatever, right? But it's always that, like, looking back and saying, am I excited? What am I passionate about? What do I enjoy doing? Because then we are always living our happiest life. Mm-hmm. Happiness is not like, oh, once I get retired, then I'll prioritize my happiness. No, happiness can be every single day. And it's not... And even though, yes, it's work, but what that means is that, I want to clarify this, that work is not that now you have to schedule in time. Sometimes you do, depending on how busy you are, to connect with your happiness. Happiness is always inside of you to feel. You can feel it at any moment, even within those small moments of you being, like, even you're driving from, you know, one place of business to the next one, or you're going to see a customer, or whatever you're doing, is that you have 30 minutes to yourself. And often I won't turn the radio on. I will just be in silence because I went from one meeting where we had so much talking, and now I'm going to go to another place where, again, there's so much talking, so much tech, whatever. And I'm like, I just need, like, silence now to just, like, go around and regroup before I go into the next meeting. And so it's being able to, like, tapping into your happiness every single day. And knowing that life is always showing you more about yourself, so that it informs you into the next direction that you need to take. So I don't think that we need to wait till we're, like, you know, retirement age to prioritize ourselves. We don't. It is like, it's it's really connecting with ourselves all day long and saying, what do I need to do now? Do I need to eat? Do I need to, you know, be in a different space? Do I need to leave the conversation because it's negative? It's all day long, just tuning in.
Does life always give you a fork in the road? And what I mean by that is that, okay, fine. So we're working. We know what the work is. We know what Monday to Friday is all about. But then all of a sudden there's an opportunity to do something else. And you're hesitant about doing something else because this is safe. This is secure. I know what the end of the week is going to be like. But if I try this, there's so much uncertainty involved in this. But isn't life the adventure of trying to discover what this might be? Sure, it could fail. But what if it doesn't? What if it actually gives you a better state, happiness, all kinds of thoughts? Like, why not go down that road? And choose that road at this time around and see what happens.
And I think our instinct and like that gut instinct, that intuition, we feel it.
Yeah.
Right. That if you think about that to say like, okay, you know, I don't know what this could be like, but if you're feeling within yourself that it and it's exciting to you and it feels good, it's pulling you in that direction.
Yeah.
And that when you think about staying, how do you feel? And it's like, what kind of sensations or what kind of like information is your intuition giving you about whether you need to go? And maybe sometimes it's doing it in a part-time capacity to say like, okay, let me just feel it out. If you're feeling about, you know, hesitant about totally jumping ship, right? Let me feel it out to see if this is really something that's right for me. And you just take like, again, a little extra steps till you are able to leave like your full-time job. But I think that listening to what our gut instinct is telling us, we don't hone into that enough. We're not even taught to really like listen to what that instinct, and it's our spirit that's guiding us to the life that we really came here to live, that our soul knows all of the things that we wanted to learn. And unfortunately, we do learn many of those things through hardship and challenge. I hate that, but unfortunately it works like that.
But it works that way. And to be honest, it works best that way. Mm. Then you appreciate it a lot more at that moment, right? Mm. Then you really, and as you get older, you can look back on certain decisions that were made and you can look back at the time when those decisions were made, you were in your worst state, but it actually brought you to where you are today and you're a lot better now as a result of that. So you actually did make the right decision. You just, at that beginning part, when it did happen, you didn't know that. Mm-hmm. You know it now. So, I mean, I always encourage everybody just like try it out. But I guess a lot of people, as they get older, they want to take less risks. We take all those risks when we're younger because we can afford the failures. We can afford the lost time. But I think also they're scratching at the back of their head thinking about what their circle of friends are going to think of them for failing. Right? Where like, and social media has gotten this far worse with us. And it's not just the young, it's also the old too. It picks at us, right? So you don't want to show your failures. But the thing is, that one success that does come along eventually, which it will, came from all those failures. Mm-hmm. But you don't realize that until after you achieve the success, right? But when you're in it at that moment, you're like, this is the worst. I can't stand this. This was a bad call, big mistake. I should never have. But it gave you the success that you always wanted.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that we don't have to share everything with everyone around us. We don't have to
share our
dream. No, but if people have dreams and aspirations that you share them with people who you think are closest to you and they poo-poo on you.
Yeah, totally.
They shit on you and they say, no, it'll never work because it didn't work for my buddy. It didn't work for my dad. It's not going to work for you because, you know, you're not the right religion. You're not the right skin color. You don't have enough money. You don't have enough education. You don't have the right background. You know, this is what they do. And it's like, on my heart, I have this to do. So it's not on your heart because it's not your destiny. It's on my heart to do. So how dare you go and tell me that the things that I'm passionate about aren't going to work out for me. It's not going to work out for you.
Yeah.
Because it's not on your heart to do. So it's important that I don't share my greatest dreams, like my big ones with, I could probably maybe two people I've shared.
I don't share with anybody.
Really big things.
Yeah, like massive things, like major things that you're working on towards that you know will take years, if not a few decades, to achieve. I don't share with anybody. I just keep it to myself. I let people know about certain things that I'm doing because they're just unfolding. It's just a natural progression at that point. That's the next step that Manny's going to take. And I leave it at that. And then the other thing that I don't do anymore, and I don't care about it, is I don't care about the judgment. I don't. If someone wants to say something negative about it or to me, I walk away. And it's really easy to walk away from social media. You just block and walk away. And it says, like, you want to say shit, then go ahead and say shit. Guess what? I'm not listening. So it's as simple as that. That's how I look at it. But everybody's consumed. I feel for the, I was that way too when I was younger. Like, we were totally sucked into worrying about what others, family, friends, or your significant other would think. And then that influenced us to make the wrong decision. And we stayed with safe instead of trying to find the adventure.
And I think some cultures really put so much emphasis on, oh, you know, what's this family going to say? What's this person going to say? And long time ago, people didn't even share that they had cancer. Because if you had cancer, it meant that there was something wrong in the family.
Yeah.
And that's why you got sick, whether, you know, you did bad things, whether you had bad genetics, whether. So a lot of times people didn't share till then they passed. And it's like, oh, you know, what was wrong? Whatever. They didn't even want to share that they were sick because it meant something bad, like for the whole family.
No, I understand.
So they didn't want to share that stuff because they're so consumed with, you know, how it looks to other people. And they embed that into that conditioning and programming into us from very young, that, oh, you need to look nice because, oh, you know, like the so-and-so, and then you get the compliments from the family. Oh, you look so cute, you look so and this is how we learn as children that we need to look a certain way, we need to behave a certain way, because look at the accolades we get, look at the positive comments.
Are the young families doing this too, the young parents?
In many cultures, it's heavy. And so I agree with you. I think when we get older, that is one of the things we realize, that other people's, this is like a big one that I'm being reminded of a lot lately, is that other people's opinions are not my business.
They have no value.
Not my business. And really, what I'm doing is not your business, really, for you even to say you agree or don't disagree.
Just turn the closed sign. Yeah. That's it. Business is closed. It's none of your business. Leave it at that. We got to wrap this one up, Teresa. Do you want to share? I got to get you to share all your details again so we have that so everyone knows so they can reach out to you.
Thank you so much. So, yeah, I really appreciated that Jose shared that, you know, and even Dawn did too, Dawn. Right? That there are times in our life that it is important for us to try to speak to others and not just staying in our head or staying in our own silence. That's part of my own story, that I suffered in silence for a very long time, thinking no one will understand and people will judge me. And I didn't. And that wasn't healthy. I know now that it wasn't healthy. And so I tell people that, you know, look for, and I think the universe will, or God, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, spirit, whatever, will send you the person that you need to work with. And whether it's a therapist or a counselor or a life coach, what I love about coaching is that it's so forward thinking, right? Yeah. It's not about going into the muck and all of the shit from the past. Not to say that you don't need to look at it, but you don't need to stay there for years reliving the past. It's about, okay, this is what happened in my past, and this is what I'm going to do with the knowledge and information and gifts that I can, you know, realize about what happened from the past to be able to propel me forward. So if people want to connect with me, you can do that by checking out my website at teresagreco.ca. You can also connect with me on social media as well. It's Teresa Greco_steps to happiness. I'm on Facebook as well, Teresa Greco or Steps to Happiness.
Oh, with LinkedIn, Teresa Greco. Twitter,
everything,
TikTok, all of them under all Steps of Happiness or Teresa Greco.
Yeah, Teresa Greco _ Steps to Happiness.
Yeah. And then reach out to us, either one of us, if you want to be on a show, on a future show when we're doing Building Joy, and then we want to talk to you. So I always have a blast talking to these complete strangers, in my opinion. I just met them.
Me
so,
too.
And they're sharing so much, but there is a common thread. between all these conversations that we've had on the show that you can see it. And I'm grateful for them sharing so much and letting us into their lives a little bit and knowing about them and see where they are right now. And it's not that people are perfect, that's far from it, but they're solving what they can and then they're becoming happier as a result of it.
Yes.
Simple as that. So thank you, Teresa.
Thank you, Vanny.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's it, Angelina. We're out of here.